This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast and episode one of a new show we've got going on. I thought to give it a whirl in time for the end of the season. Called Across the Pond, so episode one, I'm Mick Moran. I'm joined today for episode one by Jamie Keegan over in Boston. How are you doing? How are you doing, Jamie, lad?
Mick, I'm good. It's early before match day today. So, you know, waking up with something that makes you happy is always a great way to start the day, and parting as well with you. Couldn't be better.
And we're both, of course, it's audio only pods, but we're both rocking the Cop Eye Pod t-shirt. I'll have to do a clip of this because it looks just proper uniform. Looks like we're doing a little pod before a little five-a-side footy, matching shirts and all that. Nice one for jumping on, lad. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's just going to be a standard pod, I guess, in terms of talking about the footy and stuff. And before we get into that, though, how's life over in Boston going for you?
Everything's going pretty good. I mean, weather's getting better. The team that I coach, we had our second game of the season yesterday and we ended up winning. We lost the first game of the season the week prior. So to get back in the win column is great for me and my players. So love doing that, and adopted a new dog in the past week or so. So lots of cool stuff going on. Can't complain.
Yeah, I saw the picture. I was like, oh, he's got another cute pet. I need to get over there and have a see because, yeah, it's proper cute. No, nice one. So yeah, let's get stuck into the footy. And I didn't want to, we've had time to stew over this result now, getting beat 3-0 by Atalanta at home. It was shocking, I think, is one of the many words that were floating around everywhere. Group chats, online. Of course, online's always a bit more extreme. But what was your, now you've had time to settle and have a few sleeps and get over a little bit, what are your thoughts on that game? It was just a bit of a crazy one, weren't it?
You know, Atalanta, I think, had a great game plan. They stuck to it. They were unwavered. And, you know, first and foremost, full credit to them. They came, did a job, were efficient where they had to be. And, you know, Liverpool can say to themselves, it's the classic Liverpool story, right? You have a great deal of chances. You're not efficient with them. You go behind, then you're chasing. And, you know, in past years, when maybe we had a different front three and we were a little bit more clinical, those were games that you could come back with, you know, relative consistency, because Mane, Firmino, and Salah in his pump weren't going to miss chances down the stretch. And it proved to be too much for Liverpool with, you know, the wholesale changes going in the squad. But I understand the way that Klopp used the schedule in this week, because I think it was him who said, you know, to get players rhythm and you play them, sometimes it then looks like they're out of rhythm. And I think that was a huge component of the game, not to mention United. It seemed to be that the circumstance and the stage started to get to the player's psyche in the ever so slightest way. And so that obviously then had an effect in that Atalanta game, not to mention the different context around the ground as well. You know, you always wonder if something is different, how could that have an effect? And so all around, one to forget for Liverpool, but hopefully it's one that we look back on and say it sets the stage for an amazing comeback, as Liverpool have the tendency to do.
Yeah, I think it is one of them. Like, it's, you want these players to get rhythm. And again, like you've just said, it's hard to give them rhythm and to make it look still streamlined, especially with players come back, like the likes of Gakpo got a game, Jones came back in, Tsimikas came in, Elliot came in and started the game, and he hasn't been starting much. He's been more of a super sub and has been for most of the season, I guess. So I think it was a bit of that, but also just like they, again, like you said, just did a number on us, really. Like, we just didn't look... It's when, you're missing the chances, and then they get one, and you're like, right, half time, 1-0, we can turn this round. And then they get the second one, and you're like, right, there's still half an hour left here. And you're constantly waiting for the moment where the tide starts to turn, and it just never started to turn. And that was the most concerning bit for me, because we just looked a bit devoid of ideas, a bit, they were just more energetic than us, and they just outfought us. And it was a bit... I think the day after, I was like, that is like one of the worst ever. And I think it still might be, in terms of when you think back to like last season and that middle period where we were getting beat every week. That's what was kind of happening. We were getting overrun. We were getting outfought, outmanned. Every area of the pitch, we were getting battered. And weirdly, this side hasn't showed that more often than that, where we provide more energy and more enthusiasm, more work rate than the opposition. And it just seemed like it turned for this game. I don't know if it was just a perfect storm where they rocked up and knew exactly what they were going to carry out, plus the changes for us and lack of rhythm and all that. But it just felt like everything was going perfectly for them. And I think, like you said as well, like going into next Thursday at their place, we need at least 3 goals. It's a massive, massive ask, especially when you factor in the amount of away games you've got in the league coming up as well.
Yeah, the thing too is, you know, it's not your day when Diogo Jota has 2 crosses into him in the way that he likes. Obviously, not the easiest of chances, and his headers get absolutely nowhere near the frame of the goal. When something like that happens, you know it's not going to be your day. And I think at this point, we have to do what we have to do in the league, and hopefully we can learn from United in an isolated event and Atalanta in an isolated event to say, okay, we have to separate what we're doing right now, because there was obviously an effect from United into Atalanta. And now we have to have a reset. We have to just take this game one at a time. And if we look at the schedule, if we look at who Arsenal and City are playing, like maybe happened in the last week or so, I think mentally, it won't be easy for us. So take our games one at a time, and look, we don't have to look farther than Barcelona in 2019 and the league. If we had just said after the Barcelona game, oh, you know, that's it, it's over, we're not winning the league, we're not winning the Champions League, you know, you never get the story of the comeback versus Barcelona lifting big ears in Madrid and losing out on the league by a point. There's nothing to suggest that we couldn't repeat a similar feat and do one better in the league as well and come away with a double and a treble, adding in the League Cup. But at the same time, it's Liverpool. It will be fantastic in the best way or the worst way, and it'll be a spectacle, and you just have to keep watching, but you don't know how it'll go.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty, but also the annoyance of Liverpool sometimes, where you don't know it's not. I always say, I say every week, it's not good for your blood pressure and your heart. Like watching Liverpool, just constant like unknowns is a bit crazy. But yeah, and like I mentioned, the away games like coming up. Atalanta next Thursday, Fulham on the Sunday, and then you've got Everton the week after on the Wednesday, and then West Ham on the Saturday. So four very season defining away games where you need to be fresh, and I think that's where Carragher mentioned on Twitter, like just play like a second string against Atalanta and go for the league. And it's like part of me is like, I understand what he means in a way, because like just throw your eggs in all in one basket and get the league, because it is the main one. Of course it is. It's the main one that we always want to win. But like you said, you need to. We should have enough quality with the players return, the likes of Jota, Trent, Alisson coming back into the side, where you can interchange that squad a little bit more and keep it fresher. Because that's been the problem, I think, for some of the games that we've had, where you look at the bench and there's like no options on the bench because of injuries, and you're like, well, these players have to play and they've been performing. But I guess it gets to the point where not having that ability to change on 50 or 60 for someone just as good has an effect long term on terms of how efficient and how rhythmic we look, I guess. But let's move on to today, which is, it's only in a couple of hours, the Palace game. It's going to be, of course, it's at home, thankfully, ahead of those four horrible away games coming up. What are your thoughts in terms of this one? Because I think new manager for them, and like you said, off the back of the two results we've had recently, a massive reaction is needed. And that's why I think, like, in terms of like starting 11, which we'll go into in a minute, I feel like go as strong as you can and put as many of the players that were in first team players that were in the Atalanta game back in for this one, to give them an opportunity to put things right in a way, because they didn't cut, none of them covered themselves in glory in that game. So they need an opportunity to go straight out 3 days later and put it right as well.
Yeah, and you know, nobody has to tell that to Crystal Palace. They will definitely have been paying attention to the form and context of Liverpool and know that Liverpool will come out absolutely swinging and trying to redeem themselves. And so I'm sure Palace will be up for it, and they're not a bad side, right? The Premier League has gone so good in the past two decades where even mid-table sides have guys where they're either extremely talented prospects or guys who've been around the league for a while and are good players. And so, yeah, I think it would be great to see the midfield be a little bit more resolute, a little bit more functional, maybe keep transitions to a minimum for the opposition, hold the ball better. And obviously, it doesn't take anyone to be a genius to say, yeah, if Liverpool are a little bit more efficient in front of goal, they're probably going to do better than most teams in the world. And it's such a cheap, you know, slogan, expression and phrase and thought. But when Liverpool don't concede early and they don't have to chase a game and they can start from an advantage or have a game to play for in the second half at 0-0, they're a much more composed team. And you could say that about many teams in the world. But the one thing that I can't get away from is in the past 2 years, we've had a tendency to have brain farts in, you know, one of every maybe three games or so, and just concede the first goal out of complacency or a switch off. And at the end of the season here, there's no room for having to chase every single game. I can see, as you mentioned, in the next couple of away games that it's possible that there will be some good teams who can open the scoring versus Liverpool and will have to do a job, but you might be able to weather that once or twice. If it's upwards of three or four times, especially considering at home like today's game, it's going to make the task so tough. And the thing about Carragher saying to switch and have wholesale changes, a second string for Atalanta, you know, it's a genius idea to say that on Thursday after the game, But before Crystal Palace, there's no way to judge the reaction of the result and what it will mean for Liverpool going forward, because let's say Liverpool, do a job on Crystal Palace and lower the goal differential significantly. Liverpool will come out feeling a new sense of swagger, or even if Liverpool could get a last minute winner against Crystal Palace, that type of motivation and feeling would be completely different than if you took a draw or took a loss today. So it's impossible to know how to plan for Atalanta when Crystal Palace is such an important game in the grand scheme of things for Liverpool today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, I think so. I think that Liverpool are, I think like you mentioned, like the conceding early and stuff like that, I think we're always we're a very emotional team, and I think we're prone more than the likes of Arsenal or City, who are just so drilled in terms of exactly what they need to do, whereas we're a bit more, if there's a long ball on player, whereas I think City and Arsenal are a bit more like rigid and a bit more, yeah, stop the opposition as much as you can by penning them in, which we do very well as well, but in terms of like getting in behind, they're just ridiculous in terms of doing that, whereas I think we're a bit more fluid in that regard, which makes for a better watch, but not for us, I guess, sometimes when it's being a bit difficult in terms of the game not going our way maybe. So let's move on a little bit to starting 11 then, because Alisson's back in training, Trent and Jota are back in and around there. Jota came on, of course, in the Atalanta game, like you mentioned. What are you thinking in terms of the lineup? Because, like we said, like you mentioned as well before, like people, players maybe not being like calm on the ball. I think that's a criticism you can put to a few players in the last couple of games. That most notably, I'd say, is Obislai and Salah in terms of keeping the ball and just doing the simple things that they're usually very good at, just not doing it, taking two, three, four, five touches when you don't need one and two, and not playing it quicker and slowing it down, and just stuff that's like those little seconds in on a counter are key. You need to be making the most of them, and that's something that we've not been doing as much. But we know how good they are, and we know how key they are to this side. So it's not a case of like just take them out and put, I don't know, Jones and Elliott in and put them on the bench. It's not that reactionary, but. What type of 11 would you like to see today?
I think you obviously have to think about the fitness of the players who've come back, and there are going to be some that you can probably contextually push forward, where if this is, you know, the beginning of the season in August or September, you know, everyone might be brought in back more slowly. But because we're at the business end, you know, and a lot of players have been, from what Klopp said, managed with a hesitance to bring back too quickly. I think everybody should be as close to ready as possible. I would put Alisson back in. I'd put him in the sticks. And then from across the back line, go Rabo, Virgil, Kanate, if available. And then Connor Bradley, because I think it would be a step too far to start Trent in the middle. Wataru Endo, Alexis McAllister. And then, you know, as we were talking about Szoboszlai, sometimes you do need a step back and to look at the game from the peripheral of the bench and then come into games and then get form again. So I would go with Curtis Jones in the middle. to finish out that three. And then I think you have to keep playing Darwin Nunez if he's fit. I would go him, Salah, and Lucho, and then not be hesitant to bring forward Diogo Jota as soon as possible in the second half if things aren't going your way, and give him something close to 35, 40 minutes if that's what you need to. Trent, I would expect to see him in the second half. And I also wouldn't be surprised to see one of Virgil or Konate get rotated at some point for either Kwanzaa or Gomez, depending on the way the game is going. So I think now you have to use the squad. Harvey Elliott could play a part. Gakpo needs to be efficient whenever he gets his minutes. These are guys in Lucho, Jota, Salah, Darwin, who've scored goals and provided assists. These are players who are good players who can get good output, but they've all had choppy bits of either form or injuries plaguing them throughout the season, and their numbers are still quite decent. So I think that we really should have enough for Crystal Palace today, especially if we can get Anfield and the Kop going with a proper reaction to remember there's still stuff to play for. There's nothing to feel sorry for ourselves. We still have destiny in our own hands, even if it's through the hardest road of goal differential and coming back from a 3-goal deficit in Italy. It's still technically in our hands.
Yeah, I think as well, especially like back at Anfield and wanting the reaction from the previous games. And knowing that if you win, you go top, maybe temporarily, when and then Arsenal go to or host Villa at 4:30. So you can hopefully get over the line against Palace tonight, a decent win, and then sit back and probably watch that game and Leverkusen. I think they kick off at the same time. I think Leverkusen can win the title today, so that'll be tuned into that one as well, just to see what happens. But yeah, I think it's good that the games, because I always think, like, when, especially for Liverpool, like when we have a game every 3 days, it seems to benefit us, I think, because we just like get this one done into the next one, and that is beneficial to its maximum when you're winning games consistently, because you want to keep that rhythm going. I think when you've had a draw and you should have won, and then you've got battered really by Atalanta, I'm not sure if it's better to have more time or less time. I guess you don't know unless it happens. But 3 days to have a little rest and recuperate, and then yeah, just show them what went wrong in the Atalanta game, and don't do that. But I think yeah, it's a difference, of course, the system, the way Atalanta play and the man marking and stuff. We've always had a bit of a mad time with that, where it's a mad system, and I guess it works in ways against Liverpool, but you have to fight it in the right way, which we didn't. We've done all the wrong things. But yeah, I think I agree with you with, like, Szoboszlai might be a good opportunity for him to come out and have a bit of, like, yeah, 60 minutes on the bench and then comes on towards the end. I think similar to Trent. And then if you're looking at the bench, you can bring on Szoboszlai, Trent and Jota on 60. Like, even if the games were 1-0 up, or it's hopefully not 0-0 or 1-1 or whatever, either way the game's going, those can either help you win the game or help you boost on the lead or whatever you've got as well, which is sort of that. Yeah, the importance of having a squad and players in reserve who can come in and or back from injury and come in and do a job like those players can is massive, and hopefully it will be for us today. Let's move on to finally score predictions. What are you thinking for this one, lad?
I think 3 goals, it'd be good to score 3 goals, maybe 4 in preparation, hopefully, for Atalanta and a comeback on Thursday to get the form going and the rhythm going in front of goal. So I'll say a complete 3-0 performance. I'll go Darwin, Alexis, and a solid goal.
I'll absolutely take that. I think we'd take a 1-0 after the recent game. We'd take any, as long as we get back to the top of the league, and then you can watch as Arsenal, no doubt, go and beat Villa. I'm just trying to get some reverse psychology in there and just trying to see if that helps in the airwaves.
it's a funny one, because even though Arsenal is the beast that we have to deal with right now, I think that they're way more prone to be the team that would drop points in the next 6-7 games as opposed to City. And so I think the landscape of everything could change in an absolute instant, depending on the way the results go for us and Arsenal. I mean, you know, it didn't take someone to be a genius like Gary Neville to say last year when Arsenal had 7 games to play and I think a 7-point lead over City that City would still be there at the end. And of course, City were there at the end. As much as we want to say that, you know, they might have had a down year, they're, you know, playing for a chance to be in the semifinals of the Champions League. They're first in the Premier League right now, albeit having played a game more. And so the teams that Liverpool are competing against are absolute machines. They're incredible. And so to get to where we are in such a short amount of time, and even thinking if we had had better luck with referees or with injuries, that we could even be at a surplus, at an advantage, even more so at this point in the season, I think it's so remarkable. And look, I don't want to get caught up in the revisionism of Klopp or the tenure that he's had. It's been absolutely amazing. But also, anyone who says, oh, you know, we didn't win as the end-all be-all, it's like, you don't understand. Like, these next couple weeks are going to be an absolute journey that I'm sure every Liverpool fan will remember for the rest of their lives, regardless of whatever we come out with or not.
Yeah, massively. I think it's, when you think of like with this going into this season after having a good end of last season, we didn't really know what to expect this season with new midfield and people leaving and forced people leaving and people wanting to leave and stuff like that, and then having to change everything and new midfield and new fellas in there. The fact that we're in there, and like you said, if I don't want to get into like Diaz offside goals and that, but even if we were discounting all that, if we were just a little bit more clinical in other games, like we can still win the league, but it's only like one or two more goals in certain times of matches where we could be top of the league by a point now and not have to rely on other people or a couple of points clear. But it's sort of that it needs to, of course, the players can't think like that. They need to be thinking about like what's coming up and the games coming up, because that's the main thing starting with today. Because there's like a phrase floating around, and it's always when Liverpool are going for the title, it's like there's a league title to be won, and that is it. Like it's as simple as that. If you don't need any more motivation than that, do you really, to get yourself up for a game?
It's one of those things where it's like, how, you know, greedy and much of a incompetent person could you be to ever complain about, you know, your club being in a title race? You know what I mean? Like 99% of fans never see their team win anything. And so for Liverpool to consistently, under Jurgen Klopp, be challenging and be there, thereabouts, I don't think you could ask for more, because if you ask for more, it's indecent and doesn't make sense to the rest of football fans who love to watch their team regardless of the result. So to have this ability to go win titles and collect memories and collect dreams along the way, it's just, you just have to soak it in and appreciate it, because you never know that it's guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's a perfect place to leave it there. Thanks, Jamie, for jumping on episode 1 of Across the Pond. Like we said, it's the top of the show. If you want to go and have a little purchase of one of the Copy Podcast footy shirts, you can. jackdesign.uk/copyte. Yeah, I'll make sure I clip that bit in, lad, when you're showing off the goods there. Yeah, if you want to go and buy one, yeah, jackdesign.uk/copyte. They are a thing of beauty, like they really are. Not just because it's got our lovely logo on, but just because they're just very, very nice. So go and have a look at them. But yeah, thanks, Jamie, for jumping on, lad. Appreciate it.
Mick, a pleasure and a privilege as always. And up these Reds, let's go.
Yeah, get yourself back to sleep, lad, and get yourself up for 9 o'clock. The commitment to this lad, I feel bad all the time asking him to jump on shows, but he always says yeah, and he's getting up early to jump.
You know, though, Mick, the person who I empathize with the most, who is going to be someone who you've alluded to coming on this show as well, Evan, over in the Bay Area, they have the worst kickoff times in the world. Yeah. 4:30 a.m.s, 5 a.m.s for kickoffs. It's another level, another level.
It is. It makes you to, I think that's like part of the reason I wanted to do shows like this, where you can get an insight of like fans around the world and like, I guess, us taking it for granted, like times that are at normal times and like not during work hours, etc. Not like 4:30 in the morning, like people in Australia and all that stuff, which is just, yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, thanks, Jamie, for jumping on. Really appreciate it. And we shall leave it there. Let's hope the Reds can, yeah, go and put on a, not even a masterclass, not even like a boss performance, but if we get a boss performance, that's good. But like just it is a just win game. Like after the last two games, just win, get over the line, go top of the league. Hopefully Villa do us a favour and we crack on from there. But yeah, nice one, Jamie, for jumping on. Nice one, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you all very soon. Ta-da.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopai Podcast.
Network.